does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it
all. Welcome back, everybody. We're glad you're with us one more hour tonight. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night. We got a lot going on tomorrow night. But tonight, stay with us. We got some baseball and some football to talk about in this next hour. Right now, though, we got to turn it over to the star of the show. He's got all the info you could possibly need on a busy Friday. It's Network Indiana's James Adams.
At halftime, the Sacramento Kings find themselves down 45-54 to the New Orleans Pelicans. In the NBA Western Conference play-in game, in the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat got the 112-91 victory over the Chicago Bulls. The Heat move on to play the Boston Celtics in round one of the NBA playoffs. The Indiana Pacers, meanwhile, in round one, are set to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Earlier today, Rick Carlisle spoke about what he enjoys about this time of the season.
Well, this is a great week for us. We got a hungry group, and we've got a lot to prove. And so every step of this process is important. And a lot of our guys are first time in the playoffs. We're playing a team that has really a ton of playoff experience and championship experience, and so we have to understand our, and we've spent a lot of time focusing on those things, and we got one more day tomorrow and then we get out of here.
The Pacers are a young team. That's what makes their leadership so important. Here's Rick Carlisle talking about that leadership.
Our leadership's been consistent all year long. It's been Tyrese, Miles, you know, Pascal, since he's come on board. It really is a leader by example. You know, he's relatively new to our situation, and so you know he immersed himself in this thing gradually. TJ McConnell's an important guy, and you know, we don't have a whole lot of playoff experience, but we have a lot of hungry guys.
You heard him mention Pascal Siakam. He's one of those few Pacers with previous playoff experience. Here's Siakam on the value of that experience.
Yeah, I think just going through the experience of the playoffs, obviously got swept a couple of times, you know, won a championship. Like, I've been through different phases, lost two games. You know, that was against Milwaukee. Lost two games, won the next four, lost the first game against Orlando in the first round. Like, I kind of seen it all, you know, where it's like you high and you feel like you won everything, and then there's times where, you know, it could be like low, where it's like you lost two games and the next game if you lose it, you go home, or like, you know, like, or it feels like you're going home. So you just got to be able to stay calm through it, and I think there's experience of that just makes you feel that way. And when you've been through things, like, you get it, and I think if you have guys that can guide you through it if you haven't been through it, that's how it helps.
Siakam also spoke about what his message is to this young Pacers squad, which features many players making their playoff debut.
Obviously, I have that experience, so I'm, you know, just making sure that we stay calm through it all, and not get too high with the highs and not too low with the lows. It's just, that's the playoffs, you know, and I think my message just being like, it's whatever happened in the regular season is like, forget about it, you know. Obviously, there's things we can learn from that, but it's not going to be the same teams. It's going to be adjustments, and everything is just focused and laser focused on this, because, you know, and you can't just think about the past at this point. We got to continue to work on us and just continue to get better as a team. And just, to me, it's just going out there, having fun, playing, be the hardest playing team. And again, the results are going to take care of itself.
Once again, Game 1 in the Pacers-Bucks series is set for Sunday at 7 p.m. That game is in Milwaukee. In Major League Baseball, here are some scoreboard updates. Top of the 10th inning, we've got overtime. The Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals are all tied up at 1 apiece. Top of the 5th inning, the Toronto Blue Jays and the San Diego Padres. Blue Jays up 5-1 over San Diego. End of the 3rd inning, the Mets in control 4-0 over the L.A. Dodgers. The top of the 4th inning, Arizona Diamondbacks have the 1-0 lead over the San Francisco Giants. Other games that went final: Cubs 8, Marlins 3, Cincinnati Reds 7, Angels 1, and the Red Sox 8, Pirates 1. I'm James Adams for Network Indiana Sports.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. But a fun night. Now, don't forget to join us tomorrow night. We're going to be talking racing. We're going to talk a little NASCAR and IndyCar. We got one of those weekends. IndyCar, NASCAR, both racing this weekend. So we're going to have the guys, Mark James, the voice of the Indianapolis 500 and the NTT series, will be with us, as will Adam Alexander from Fox Sports 1. He's the lead announcer for the Infinity Series, the Infinity Series. So he'll be with us, and that'll take care of our racing. We'll talk some college football. Dr. Lynn Clark will join us and talk about Notre Dame. We'll also spend time talking about the Pacers. Chris Denary will be with us tomorrow night. So that's not a bad lineup for a Saturday night show. And I still find it hard to understand why I need to remind people to join us on Saturday night, because there are still people who don't understand that we've been on Friday and Saturday for 30 years. And I still, a couple weeks ago, had someone talk to me on the air and say, "Yeah, I love listening to your show on Friday nights." And I said, "Well, you know, what about Saturday? If you like us on Friday, you probably ought to like us on Saturday. I didn't know you were on Saturday. Only been on Saturday for 30 years. So join us tomorrow night. Have some fun as we talk about those particular things. James Adams is doing our scoreboard updates. He's been fantastic. James, what's going on in the world of sports? Are we ready for some racing tomorrow night?
I guess we are. Like I said, I'm not the biggest racing fan in the world, but I'm very excited.
Well, you need to be.
I guess
remember
I do.
Where you are. You're in Indianapolis, and so have you been to the race yet?
I have been to the race twice. Once when I was in high school, and I actually went last year.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can work on a sports talk show if you haven't been to the race. It's like when I was teaching IUPUI. I used to teach at IUPUI for a long time. One of the classes I taught was history of sport. It's kind of an interesting class. It was a fun class. And I would, every year, in first day of class, I would ask people, have you seen the movie Hoosiers?
I have seen the movie Hoosiers, I should say.
Yeah, well then, you know, I'd ask my class that, and you'd have a handful of young men and women who had not seen it, and I told them, I said, "You will not pass the class. I won't pass you unless you watch the movie." And they're going, "You can't do that." And I go, "You know what? Here's a way to find out. Don't watch it and then see what your grade looks like. And then tell me what I can and cannot do." I'm good with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. If you're going to be in the sports world in Indianapolis, you got to go to the race. You got to, or at least you got to be able to chat it up, for heaven's sakes. It's a fun week. Anytime you get the doubles, when you get NASCAR and IndyCar running the same weekend, is fun. And we're fortunate that, you know, Mark James and Adam Alexander are friends of the show, guys I've known for a long time. Who I'm honored to call friends. They're the best at what they do, and it's really, really good. So we're going to talk about that. But everybody's excited about the Pacers and the Bucks, and we have to wait until Sunday, right?
Unfortunately, yes. We got to wait till 7 p.m. Sunday.
Who has that game? Is that TNT or is it TBS, or who has that?
It is TNT.
TNT. Yikes.
We have to suffer.
Yeah, it's all right. I'd much rather listen, you know, to Chris and Quinn, yeah, and JJ and those guys. They're friends of mine. Come on. So, you know, much rather those guys. They're local. They're our guys, for Evans. These are our guys. And why not get excited about that? Yeah, that's fun. So, so that game starts on Sunday. Now, the schedule, if I'm looking at this schedule correctly, I am looking at it. So they play Tuesday night.
Yep.
So they open up on Sunday, then play Tuesday night, and then play Friday, Sunday, Tuesday. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. They play, yes, Sunday's the game one, Tuesday, game two at 8:30, game three is Friday at 5:30. That'll make
right.
me happy we get to wrap up the show early.
And then, now you're talking.
And then Sunday, 7 o'clock tip-off time from Indianapolis.
All right, got a run. Scoreboard update coming up with James Adams. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Quick scoreboard update from New Orleans. The Pelicans up 69-55 with 7:28 left in the third. That is, of course, the Western Conference play-in game in the NBA. The Indiana Pacers are set to take on the Milwaukee Bucks in round one of their playoff series. There are a couple of Pacers whose status is questionable, including Obi Toppin and Jalen Smith. Here's head coach Rick Carlisle on the status of those players.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Obi had a little back thing that kind of flared up, came out of nowhere, but got it worked on, and I think he's okay. And, Jalen is doing better. This time has helped him. Isaiah's doing well. And so, one more day tomorrow, really kind of a taper down day, and then we'll get on the plane.
The Indianapolis Colts saw the return of tight end Drew Ogletree today. He was removed from the commissioner's exempt list and can now rejoin the team for offseason activities. Here's general manager Chris Ballard on Ogletree's return.
Yes, he is. He's back.
Off the exempt list?
Correct.
Are you comfortable with,
yes.
with what you've learned there?
Yes.
And you can move forward?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely comfortable with it.
Major League Baseball scores. Bottom of the 10th, the Brewers are up 2-1 over the St. Louis Cardinals. Top of the 5th, the Toronto Blue Jays up 5-1 over the San Diego Padres. Mets up 4-0 over the Dodgers. Top of the 4th, also top of the 4th, the Diamondbacks up 2-0 over the San Francisco Giants. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm James Adams.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you could join us. Season number 30 of Indiana Sports Talk. I can't believe it either. So when I say that, I just know that when we started in the fall of 1994, Nathaniel, how old are you?
I'm 22.
So Nathaniel's 22. You weren't born before the show was on the air. Frankly, to be honest, I haven't worked with anybody on the show in the last few weeks or months who were born before the show went on.
Well, Brennan's right
so,
there. He's right
who's
there.
That?
BK's just a little bit younger than the show.
Yeah, Brendan King, maybe. Right. No, you're right there. Which, I'm not even sure why I bring it up. I mean, we all understand I'm not young. And the show's been around 30 years. I'm asked this all the time. How come it's been on so long? And I don't have an answer. Number one, I think it's, we've stayed true to, what we started out doing. And that was making this show about, the information, making the show about, kids and coaches. So on, Friday night during football and Friday and Saturday during basketball. If you listen or have listened for any length of time, I'm sure the criticism, and I hear this occasionally from peers and others, the criticism of me is I only ask two or three questions, and I always ask, so who played well? And, people make fun of that. That's fine. I'm good with it. I'm in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame because of it, but it's okay. Make fun all you want. But one of the reasons I do that is I want people's names. I want moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents to hear their kid's name who did well. And they try to make it as local as we possibly can. And so we've stayed true to that mission for a long, long time. I have said and continue to say, The show is not about me, even though I'm the host, and I get more credit than I deserve, and probably, I suppose, more blame than I deserve. But I've tried not to make it about me. I've always tried to make it about the people I talk to and the people I talk about. So it's not me. It's about the information we give you. And when we first started, this was way before we started. We weren't, you know, there weren't computers when we started the show. So we literally, you know, we were the guys who collected all the scores in the state, and newspapers around the state would call us and ask for scores so they could run them in their newspapers and television stations the same way. That's how we got scores to people back in the day. And now, clearly, social media and other things have changed the scope of this, but we still believe that information is the key to what we do on this show. And that's why we talk about the most important people. Like tonight, it's James Adams. He's the star of the show because he has the information. He's the guy. And so it's just one of those situations where we're thrilled to be able to do it. And we've been able to do it so long because of everybody just falling in and believing in what we do and being nice and trying to find out what the score is. And the skepticism early from people was people in Madison, Indiana aren't going to care about the region in football, those kinds of things. Our contention was that's not necessarily true. We turned out to be right. And so, you know, it's a show that galvanizes an entire state. And Friday nights, look, if you haven't listened to us during football on Friday nights or Friday and Saturday during basketball, it's a different show. It's unique. What's unique about our show is that when we started it, this was before no one had ever tried to do what we did. There was no statewide syndicated sports talk show. It had never been done before. And so we're fortunate to be able to do it, fortunate to do it then, fortunate to do it now. Our biggest issue now is the age of the host. So we just try to get to midnight every night and make sure our host doesn't nod off on us. All right, James Adams, what's the schedule? What am I watching on TV tomorrow?
Tomorrow we got quite a lot of baseball to get through tomorrow. Let me go ahead and pull up the schedule up here. Where was it? Here it is. So we've got the Tigers and the Twins at 2:10 p.m. We've got Cardinals, right. Brewers 2:15. Are you a Reds fan?
No. Stop. I'm a Cardinal fan.
Gotcha.
I was raised a Cardinal
okay.
fan. I love my Cardinals. Absolutely.
How do you and JMV get along?
Well, we're just, you know, we look past each other's shortcomings, and so we're a.
It's a very diplomatic answer.
I want you to
answer.
Hang on for a second because we've got to bring in a former star of the show. Tony Donahue joins me. If you've listened to Indiana Sports Talk any at all over these last 30 years, you know how important Tony Donahue is to our show. Tony D, how are you tonight?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
Couldn't be better. Tell me about IndyCar. They're out in Long Beach. That's one of the favorite venues. It's a great historic track. What's happening in practice today on the IndyCar circuit?
Yeah, they had their first practice today. They kind of split it up in groups. It was good. I think there was, when you come to street courses like Detroit and St. Pete and Long Beach, it takes a little bit to get adjusted to what the track is because the track changes. Long Beach doesn't change as much as a place like Detroit does because obviously their winners are a little bit better. But it was good. Paddle Ward was fast today. Scott McLaughlin was fast today. And I think when you look at the top 10 of the speed charts today, you see five different teams, and that just kind of shows you the balance of IndyCar that anybody can win on any given weekend. So I was impressed by Scott McLaughlin. Rookie Christian Rasmussen was in the top 10 today for Ed Carpenter Racing. There's a couple other drivers that are going to that track for the first time that kind of struggled. Nolan Siegel today struggled a little bit. Kiffin Simpson struggled for Chip Ganassi Racing. But It's good to have a points-paying race for the second time in the last 2 months. It seems like St. Pete was so long ago. It was, you know, 6 weeks ago. Then they had the all-star race, a non-points-paying race in Thermal. But it's nice to have IndyCar back. And it's kind of like we were hurry up and waiting, and we were excited for the test last week at the Speedway. They got rained out most of the time. They got a couple hours, and then the second day got rained out. But now we're ready to go. We've got, you know, Long Beach this weekend, Long Beach this weekend, Alabama next week. Then you come back to Indy for the road course race, Indy 500 pole qualifying weekend, and then the Indy 500. So five of the next 6 weeks are super busy.
See, that's the thing about it is, you know, that's the buildup, if you will, the anticipation of getting started. And then when you get started, you don't stop. I mean, obviously NASCAR does this all the time. But IndyCar, there's some time in between. And I can't imagine the pressure it puts on teams to have to be ready to change things over different venues. You know, you have road course, obviously, this week in Long Beach. You have ovals. You have others. The pressure that the teams are under and drivers are under to make that transition week after week in a short period of time.
Yeah, and that was kind of the concerns with the test at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway last week that you and I talked about got rained out on that second day. It's like, why can't they run it a day after that? Well, you got to turn the cars over from oval configuration to road course configuration. That usually takes about a day if you've got multiple cars, which every team in the field does. It takes a little bit more than that. And then you got to turn around, and you know it's a 4-day trip out to Long Beach to load in on Wednesday, which they did two days ago. So that's kind of why it got bobbled up. It was unfortunate that they didn't get as much testing in on the oval as they would probably have wanted to. But yeah, like the schedule is crazy. You know, you go to California three different times.
Hey Tony, hang on a second.
No problem.
I have to run to a scoreboard update. I need you to hang on, okay?
No problem.
We'll come back, talk more racing with Tony Donahue on Indiana Sports.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Indianapolis Colts are preparing to begin their second draft under head coach Shane Steichen. Colts general manager Chris Ballard spoke about how Steichen impacts their draft.
Oh, it's really good because it makes it, I mean, like when you go in there and you start looking at players together, and then when he starts looking at the board and you okay, this is how I use this guy, this is how he fits. Man, from a GM perspective, that's a beautiful thing now, knowing that he's got a vision quickly for the player, and it's not a vision of negativity with many guys where he sees the strengths really quickly and will figure out a role for how this guy can play for you. And that's fun. That makes it fun.
Ballard also spoke about what is considered to be a very strong offensive draft class.
I'll say this. I do think you're going to see a lot of offensive players taken early, you know, in the first round. I'm not saying it's a weak defensive draft, but it is a really strong offensive draft, especially at the top of it.
In the NBA, the Western Conference play-in tournament game at the end of the third quarter right now. The Pelicans have an 83-74 lead over the Sacramento Kings. Earlier today, the Heat got the 112-91 victory over the Bulls. They move on to play the Celtics in round one of the NBA playoffs. Scoreboard update from Major League Baseball. Bottom of the sixth, the Blue Jays up 5-1 over the Padres. Mets up 4-1 over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Diamondbacks leading 2-1 over the San Francisco Giants at the top of the fifth. And going final recently here, the Brewers get the 2-1 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Tony Donahue rejoins us. What's the name of the podcast we can all listen to, Tony? The Tony D podcast?
Yeah, what an original name, right? I thought of it all by myself. But, yeah, we're talking a lot of racing on there. You know, if there was one good thing that came out of a rain delay, it was the ability to talk to a lot of these drivers and kind of pick their brains and what it looks like for the month of May. And the two conversations that I had that really stuck out was one with Kyle Larson, who is going to be the main story throughout the month of May, running the double and just the adjustments that he has to make. And then another storyline that we're going to follow is Graham Rahal. Remember, he missed the field last year qualifying on bump day. gets in after Steph Wilson gets injured into in the accident on that Monday practice. So, you know, is Ray Hall back? And what Graham told me was, look, things feel a little bit different. They feel faster than what we had last year. And, you know, it's easy to say that in April. Can you back that up with speed in May? So that's certainly a storyline. We'll be at 35 entries for the Indianapolis 500, which means two drivers are going home. And usually within those two drivers is going to be a full-time driver that is battling for that last spot to get into the field. So it'll be interesting to see who makes it in, who doesn't. We know the charter entries are coming, but that doesn't mean that the top 33 won't get in. I think we're going to continue that tradition of the fastest 33 get in, whether you're a full-time driver or you're a part-time effort just for the 500.
All right, so Long Beach, you talked earlier about that. So that race is on Sunday. And go back, remind me who had good days today in the first day of practice?
Yeah, Pato O'Ward was super fast earlier today in practice. He's a guy that didn't win last year, has been cracking down the door of a win. He hasn't won since 2022. You know, he was runner-up twice last year at the road course race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He was winning last year's race at Long Beach before getting taken out in an accident up front. So I think you're waiting for Pato O'Ward to break through and get that victory. He's somebody to watch for in Andretti Autosport. Andretti Global now has won four of the last five races there. Kyle Kirkwood got his first career win a year ago. Colton Herta won there in 2021. And then they add Marcus Erickson to the mix, who has three street course wins over his career at St. Pete, Detroit, and Nashville. And by the way, he qualified on the front row last year and finished second. So certainly Andretti Global now is the team to watch this weekend. Colton was fast in practice. Kyle Kirkwood had some issues in practice earlier today, so he didn't get as much time as he probably wanted. But he still ended up in the top 10 on the speed charts.
Tony Donahue, his podcast, the Tony D Podcast. Yes, it is original. Tony, thanks. We'll talk tomorrow night. I look forward to having more conversations with you, and I appreciate you taking time.
Sounds good. We'll talk tomorrow about qualifying.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks so much. Brendan King joins me, the voice of the South Bend Cubs. Brendan, how are you tonight?
Coach, doing well. Good to talk, as always. Hope you're well.
I couldn't be better now that I've talked to two of my favorite young guys.
Me?
Tony Donahue and Brendan King. So give me some good news about the South Bend Cubs.
Can't report good news tonight, Coach, but it was a good ball game. 5-4 in 10, like I texted you.
Oh.
Would have loved to call earlier, but played in 10, one of those long ball games. And just didn't go our way. You know, as you know, nowadays in extras, you are gifted the automatic courtesy runner at second. So you are seeing fewer and fewer games going deeper and deeper in extra innings. And that's kind of the case tonight.
Right.
But winding and weaving game for sure. One that just didn't have a whole lot of rhyme to it. Beloit and South Bend just exchanged leads one after another. Guy Carp got a run in the first. We responded with two in the second. Game held at 2-1 for a while. Beloit grabbed a 3-2 lead on a home run in the seventh. We took a lead right back 4-3 in the eighth. Beloit got it tied in the ninth at 4. So game goes to extras tied at 4. Base running mistake by us prevented us from grabbing a run in the 10th. And, you know, what happens, Coach, with that type of deal is, you know, if you're Beloit, you see South Bend make a mistake, you're like, okay, guys, in the dugout, let's make them pay for that. And that's kind of what happened.
Right.
You know, Beloit was able to push their runner to third, and they won the game on just a little bloop single in the right center. And that's what happens with the courtesy runner. It doesn't take much, and usually a base hit's going to win the game. So that's where we are.
Yeah, here in the courtesy runner, it takes me back to my coaching days at Franklin College. Coaching college baseball, you had speed up rules. You know, you're going to walk a guy intentionally, you wave him down, you don't pitch, you got speed up rules. So many pitches in between innings, you know, those kinds of things. You know, minor league baseball doing some of that stuff. It is interesting. I mean, it's the same for both teams. I understand that, but it's different. You know what I mean? You have to adjust and learn how to handle that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the courtesy runner has been around now a number of years. So if you don't adjust to it, you're quite frankly going to lose. That's kind of how the game is now. You got to adjust to the new rules. But I like it, Coach, and we've talked about this before.
Oh, so do I.
Not only does it save, you know, the people working at the ballpark from working longer and longer hours. I mean, think about the grounds crew. You know, you play a 15-inning game, grounds crew is there till 1 a.m., and they have to be back at, you know, 10 o'clock the next morning to get the field ready for practice. So it affects everybody. But mostly, I think what it affects most is pitching staffs. You know, Coach, in the minor leagues, let me correct myself. In the major leagues, if you use too many pitchers one night, you could just call up a guy from AAA. That's not how it works at single A. You know, if you play a 15-inning game and use your entire pitching staff, you're screwed for tomorrow. So it most importantly, it saves pitching staffs. And, you know, it keeps the game fun. I mean, it's just an added layer of emotion and entertainment, right?
You
start an inning with a guy at second, and your pitcher's got to figure out how to get out of the frame, and that adds a whole new strategy to the game.
Well, your pitcher has to have has to make sure he throws strikes. The last thing you want to have, we always talk about leadoff, how important not walking people is in terms of winning baseball games, and there's a correlation between walking people and losing. But now when you have a runner on second to start the inning, you can ill afford to put somebody on first and second. Now the game has dramatically changed for you.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there can think of a strategy. Okay, first base is open. If we walk this guy, it's not the end of the world because it creates a double play. But like you said, when in fact, if you walk the guy and put a man at first, and let's call it there's runners at first and second, if you can't command to the next guy up, suddenly the bases are loaded, right? And then if the next guy comes up, if you can't throw strikes to him, it's a walk-off walk, and they win the game. So, yeah, I mean, that's like playing with fire, you know, trying to say, okay, this base is open so we can be careful with this guy. That doesn't always work because it can come back to bite you on the other sequence. If you don't throw strikes, you're going to lose the game.
No, you're 100% right. All right, so what's the deal for tomorrow? Who's on the hill tomorrow?
Day game tomorrow, Coach. So we'll play day games tomorrow and Sunday to conclude this series up in Beloit. Luis Devers gets the start tomorrow, Coach. We talked about him last week. He is the Chicago Cubs 2022 Minor League Pitcher of the Year. He was the best Cubs minor league pitcher in the entire system that year. And he's dealt with injuries since. Thankfully, he says he's 100% healthy now. He helped us win a Midwest League championship that year, so it's good to see him back on the bump. And like I said, he's back to 100%. So he looked good in his first start. He's got a pretty darn good changeup, and that's his best pitch. So Beloit has had some success to start this week, and we're going to have to take a couple to try and salvage this series. So big one tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Parent Club did okay today, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Funny enough, Beloit is the affiliate of the Marlins. So it's Cubs, Marlins, big league style and Midwest league style. And yeah, like you said, plenty of former South Bend Cubs playing well. Miguel Amaya was our catcher in 2018. He had two RBIs. So good work by the Cubbies today.
Hold that thought. Hey, hold that thought, Brendan. We'll come back after the scoreboard update, okay?
Sounds good.
Perfect. Scoreboard update coming up with James Adams. This is Indiana Sports.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
All right, final scoreboard update of the evening, which means one final check-in with the NBA play-in games, excuse me. In New Orleans, the Pelicans are up by 20, 97-77, with 6:31 left in the fourth quarter. They are firmly in control. And as I've mentioned throughout the show earlier, the Miami Heat beat the Chicago Bulls 112-91. Miami advances and will face the Boston Celtics in round one of the NBA playoffs. Major League Baseball scores. I'll try and get you all caught up before I run out of time. Middle of the seventh inning, the Toronto Blue Jays up 5-1 over the San Diego Padres. Top of the sixth, the New York Mets, they have a 4-2 lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Meanwhile, the Arizona Diamondbacks are taking on the San Francisco Giants. They have a 5-1 lead in the bottom of the fifth inning. Games that have gone final, the Chicago Cubs, they beat the Marlins 8-3. The Cincinnati Reds, they get the 7-1 victory over the Los Angeles Angels. Meanwhile, the Boston Red Sox, they win 8-1 over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Philadelphia Phillies, they beat the Chicago White Sox in a shutout 7-0, the final in that one. Houston Astros and Washington Nationals. Astros win 5-3. Nationals now 8-11 on the season. Astros 7-14. The New York Yankees, they beat the Tampa Bay Rays by a score of 5-3. The Yankees 14-6 on the season. The Rays 11-10. Cleveland Guardians 10. Oakland Athletics 2. Atlanta Braves, they beat the Texas Rangers 8-3. The Kansas City Royals win 9-4. Minnesota Twins and Detroit Tigers. Tigers win 5-4. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm James Adams.
Welcome back. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Brendan King rejoins us. You know Brendan King, the voice of the South Bend Cubs. You also know him as part of Network Indiana's race coverage. Isn't that correct, Mr. King? You're going to be coming back before we know it to get ready for the race.
Just about a month away. Can't wait for qualifying weekend. And yeah, it's going to be fun. And you know, with the help of guys like Nathaniel Finch and James Adams and Corbin Lingenfelter and others, we're going to be recording all kinds of track updates, and it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm very honored to be presented with the opportunity to be the track update guy. You know, that's it's pretty cool, and you know, for being a native Illinois guy to kind of be immersed in the race coverage and to learn about this along the way has just been cool. So, can't wait to be back.
Yeah, I would think your Illinois guys, your friends, have to be impressed that you've become a gearhead, an Indianapolis 500 expert. I would think they're impressed with that.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, I'll be the first to admit I did not know much about racing when I came here just over 10 years ago, but I mean, that's the fun of covering sports. I mean, in a lot of cases, you're learning every day. I mean, still working in baseball, Coach, I learn something new every day when I go to the park, whether that's talking to a coach, a player, whoever. So, I mean, yeah, to cover the last number of 500s, I mean, my first one that I covered was the August one in COVID, which was really weird. There was nobody there. So the first one covered a couple of years ago with fans in the stands. That was special. Last year was sweet. I mean, covering the Elio number four was awesome. So, yeah, going to be doing a lot of updates from qualifying and you know, carb day, and then on race day, I'll be around doing a lot of social media updates for our flagship stations. So, it's going to be a good time.
All right, let's talk baseball again. Cubs win. A double for the Chicago Cubs, the South Bend Cubs, and you mentioned it. South Bend, you lost tonight, but the parent club won. My apologies for that. But you were mentioning as we're going into the break that the SkyCarp are affiliated with whom?
They're a Miami team, Coach. So, yeah, it's Midwest League-style Miami Cubs and Major League-style. So the Marlins are at Wrigley, and we're up in Beloit. So we're actually not too far away from Chicago, Coach. I mean, it's pretty much an hour and a half away. So, actually, I'm it's my mom's birthday this weekend. So after the game
happy birthday to your mom. Wish her happy birthday for me. Okay,
we'll do that.
Tell her I'll be down in Naples in May. How's that? I'm gonna sneak down just before the race, and spend a little time with our daughter and son-in-law and grandson. So we're fired up about it.
Love to hear it, man. Yeah, they're gonna be heading back down too, and they obviously love it down there. But, yeah, I mean, point being, we're pretty close to Chicago. So after the game tomorrow, just going
right.
to run home, celebrate with my mom, and then we'll play the series finale on Sunday.
All right, Sunday. So, you know, to this point, you know, we've talked about the South Bend Cubs. There's a lot of time, a lot of season left. But how do you feel about where they are and the kind of start they've had to this point?
Yeah, tough start. I think for sure we have not won a series yet.
Right.
You know, and winning series is the name of the game. But yeah, it's the month of April. We have a lot of guys that are 18, 19, 20 years old playing in the cold for the first time. I mean, Coach, it got down to the high 30s tonight. The wind was about a 30-mile-an-hour gust. And, you know, you take a kid from the Dominican Republic and plant him into that, it's a completely
right.
different game. So we're just going to wait on it to warm up. There's a, like you said, we're only 13 games in. There is a ocean of season remaining, and we're going to be just fine.
Brendan King, South Bend Cubs, drop a tough one to Beloit. They'll play tomorrow. Brendan, thanks. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Thanks, Coach. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Final break, final thoughts. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. DrivenToSaveLives.org is their website. All right, don't forget to join us tomorrow night. Mike Broughton, the game director of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Game, will join us. Mark Janes and Adam Alexander are going to join me and talk about racing. Kristen Airy will join us. He'll be a part of the, as you know, he's the television voice of the Indiana Pacers. Pacers in action Sunday, game one of their series with the Milwaukee Bucks. And we'll get Chris's thoughts on that. Also, we'll talk, as I mentioned, we'll talk about racing and the NFL draft coming up next Thursday. We'll spend some time talking about that. So it's that that time of year. So join us tomorrow night as we head down the home stretch, if you will, on season number 30 of Indiana Sports Talk. We're heading up, you know, we'll take our customary two-month hiatus at the end of May, just before the race. That Friday, Saturday before the race will be my last show of season number 30 and gear up for season 31 starting. I'll be back on the air in August. So that's all coming up. So stay with us. We encourage you, though, to, if you can, make sure you watch the Pacers in action when they play the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday. That's the game, first game. That second game will then move to Tuesday. There'll be a Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday rotation. If it goes the entire length, and we're certain that the Pacers will dispense the Bucks earlier than that. So plenty to get excited about. Also, clearly coming up, big excitement for the NFL draft. Round one starts on Thursday. We'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow night. And we'll also continue to update you on college football and college football spring games. I'm still here. I'm trying not to sneeze. And here's the problem. I don't have a cough button, so it's bad radio for me sneezing on the air. We'll try to do it. So I understand. So it's just it's So, again, we're glad you're with us on Indiana Sports Talk. We're wrapping up season number 30 of the most listened to sports talk show in the state's history. It's been fun. A little different vibe this time of year, clearly. So I apologize for my cough and sneeze problems. I do want to thank great job by Nathaniel Finch and James Adams. Great job, especially from our affiliated stations, bringing the show every Friday and Saturday night. Thanks to all of you. You made us the most listened to sports talk show in the state's history. It is the history-making, legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.